And our first presenter is Ann Denham Crosby.
She's an associate professor in the political science department at York University, where she teaches international relations, security studies, Canadian foreign policy, and peace research. She's published several books, including a book on Canada's relationship to the U.S. missile defense programs. It's a book published by Macmillan, and it's titled Dilemmas in Defense Decision-Making, Constructing Canada's Role in NORAD, 1958-96. I know a number of people in this room have heard Ann Denham Crosby speak before, and we're delighted that she's joining us today.
What I want to do is talk about Canada's relationship to the programs that Dr. Grossman has already talked to us about. And I also want to suggest that Canada is not quite as principled as in these matters as Dr. Grossman has argued. I think rhetorically, in public and in international forums, representatives of our government have been highly principled. I think our practices leave a little to desire, and that's what I'm going to talk about. One can't talk about Canada's relationship to the U.S. National Missile Defense Program, and by extension, the programs that Dr. Grossman referred to, without talking about NORAD. This is the joint Canadian-U.S. military command that was established in 1958 for the air, later aerospace, defense of the North American continent. The NORAD agreement is the vehicle for Canadian participation in the range of programs that Dr. Grossman talked about. And it is through the Joint Military Command that that participation would take place. Ballistic missile defenses have been on NORAD's agenda since its inception. But in 1963, Canada did take a principled position on missile defenses and had a clause written into the NORAD agreement at that time exempting Canada from any active participation in ballistic missile defense programs should they develop. In 1981, that clause was removed from the NORAD agreement, and it was not made public until 1996 that removal had taken place. If you've read any of the books that Dr. Grossman has referred to earlier, or if you've read Francis Fitzgerald's book, Way Out There in the Blue, you know that the militarization of space and missile defense programs were a matter of some considerable interest in the U.S. in the early 1980s. That includes both the militarization of space and missile defenses. That is the time that we removed the ABM clause from the NORAD agreement. Subsequent to that, the U.S. established its Strategic Defense Initiative, the research program also known as Star Wars. In 1985, Canada refused a direct invitation from the U.S. to participate in SDI. However, a year or a little less than a year after we refused that invitation, we did renew the NORAD agreement. And at that time, the political representatives in Ottawa, both politicians and bureaucrats, had been briefed by the commander of NORAD, who also is the commander of U.S. SPACECOM, U.S. Space Command. And the Canadian bureaucrats and politicians were told at that time that it would be increasingly difficult to separate NORAD activities out of the U.S. Space Command activities, that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to separate air defense from space defense, and that space weapons and the militarization of space was definitely in the future. Despite this information, the Canadian government renewed the NORAD agreement with no changes in 1996. Since the end of the Cold War, the NORAD agreement has been renewed three times. And with each renewal, the government has indicated that it condones the kinds of missile defense and research activities that are taking place in the U.S. The agreement was renewed in 1991, just as the U.S. was establishing legislation and funding for the range of missile defense programs and militarization of space programs that Dr. Grossman has been talking about. And the Canadian government, since the Canadian public was aware of this legislation and the funding, the Canadian government no doubt was aware also. The commander of NORAD, who is also the commander of U.S. Space Command, also made it publicly clear in the early 1990s that the Gulf War served as a further catalyst for the development and deployment of a system of missile defense programs that are global in scope. These programs depend upon an earth-to-space layering of surveillance, communication, battle management, and weapons technologies. These technologies are now in place and operational and have supported such initiatives as the U.S. anti-terrorist bombings in Afghanistan and the Sudan, as well as the NATO bombings of Bosnia and Kosovo. The National Missile Defense Program is simply one aspect of this global reach of programs. It's the missile defense program designed for the North American theater. And as such, it is part of what the U.S. refers to as its global protection system. The NORAD agreement was renewed again in 1996. And at that time, the agreement was completely rewritten so as to allow Canada to participate in the range of global missile defense programs of the U.S., including but not limited to the National Missile Defense Program. Indeed, Joseph Ashi, the commander of both U.S. Space Command and NORAD at the time, announced the signing of NORAD, of the NORAD agreement, to the U.S. Senate in March of 1996, and he declared then that with the signing, NORAD would become, in his words, one command within a system of interdependent commands that make important contributions to the security of the United States and Canada and bring the power of space to U.S. military operations worldwide. This was Ashi's statement to the U.S. Senate. It was made about a week before the signing actually took place, and about the same time that the new agreement was being debated in the House of Commons. However, the NORAD renewal was debated in the House of Commons prior to the 1996 signing, without anyone in the House having access to the rewritten agreement. Lloyd Axworthy at that time assured the House that there were changes, but they in no way contradicted the ABM Treaty, nor did they involve the militarization of space. And if you remember, that NORAD agreement or that NORAD renewal took place without any public discussion. There were no public hearings, which up until that point had been the routine. To be clear, the rewritten NORAD agreement did not constitute Canadian participation in the U.S. National Missile Defense Program. But it does allow for it should Canada decide to participate. The rewritten agreement, however, did open all U.S. Space Command facilities to NORAD military personnel. This means that Canadian military personnel since 1996 have been co-manning the systems that support U.S. initiatives worldwide. And in this way, Canada is already participating in U.S. missions worldwide through the NORAD command structure. And now we have the National Missile Defense Program before us, and this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of U.S. missile defense programs. The government has held public hearings on the possibility of Canadian participation in this program, but those hearings were divorced from any consideration of the NORAD agreement. And the agreement was not due to be renewed until the spring of 2001. However, prior to the government reaching any definitive or at least any public conclusions about whether or not to participate in the program, the government surreptitiously renewed the NORAD agreement last June, and for a period of 6 years rather than the usual five, thus extending its present life beyond what was then the date for the deployment of the National Missile Defense System. Renewing the agreement in this manner and at that time sent a clear signal to the U.S. that Canada condoned its national missile defense activities. And according to the deputy commander of NORAD, who is a Canadian and who spoke at York University a couple of weeks ago, this was the message that was received in the U.S. According also to the deputy commander of NORAD, the U.S. wants Canada to participate in this program, not because it needs our money or our territory, but it needs our good name. In other words, our participation lends legitimacy to the U.S. program. And this is particularly important as major NATO countries, as well as Russia and China, have registered their displeasure over the program. With Lloyd Axworthy leaving as Secretary of Foreign Affairs, his being one of the few elected voices to speak publicly and vociferously against Canadian participation, our government appears poised to agree to participate. And unfortunately, what the basis for this decision is a political one rather than a security one. First of all, there is a genuine fear within the Canadian political establishment that the U.S. will make life uncomfortable for Canadians if we do not participate. This appears, though, to be very much a free-floating anxiety, for when those same officials are pressed as to what they mean specifically, they cannot come up with any programs that the U.S. can actually lodge against Canada, particularly since so much of the world is against the program. The United States cannot be seen to be punishing Canada for its position. So government officials are made to feel personally uncomfortable at times. This is not a problem. Secondly, there is a belief amongst bureaucrats and politicians that Canadian non-participation in the National Missile Defense Program would write the end to NORAD. And this is probably true, and this is the real concern in Ottawa. By addressing the National Missile Defense Program, then, we are also addressing the issue of the continuance of NORAD. And here we have to consider the following question. Do we as Canadians want to automatically and slavishly be involved in the pursuit of U.S. interests worldwide, as well as in a missile defense system that is not ABM treaty compliant, that has the real propensity to spark an arms race, and that will inevitably, if technologically possible, involve the militarization of space in the new future? The deputy commander of NORAD suggested this would be within 15 to 20 years. Or do we want the freedom to be consulted by the U.S. on a regular basis as regards its interests and to support and or participate in U.S. initiatives when we feel it is in our interest to do so? Either way, we need to realize that the National Missile Defense Program is neither defense nor deterrence. It is the posturing of the powerful, and it is of a very dangerous kind.